You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Evan Roberts podcast. I'm going to call this a friendly discussion between two passionate Met fans who probably vehemently disagree on the issue at hand. That would be George Springer. And since Sal Licata, star of SNY and WFAN, is my guest, I'm giving you the floor to begin the podcast. Why are you so upset the Mets didn't give George Springer $150 million?
Well, because this year was supposed to be different. He was the one guy I wanted. Remember now, the expectations have changed since the new ownership, okay? And they were supposed to go out there. And for the record, I was never in the camp of going out there and spending like, quote, drunken sailors. I didn't want Bauer. I didn't even necessarily care for Lindor. I even got off of Real Muto and was perfectly happy with McCann. I wanted George Springer. They have needed a center fielder since Carlos Beltran moved to the corner outfield and right field. They haven't had a legit center fielder. Springer is a guy who not only can play center field, he's proven in the postseason, which is another thing I think is invaluable, as we've seen with the Yankees year in, year out. You need somebody who can hit quality pitching in big spots in the postseason if you are, in fact, to go out there and win the World Series. So his impact bat, being that he's a center fielder, local guy, love his personality, his makeup, he was the guy I wanted. Okay. So for them to not get him what reportedly seems to be 25 or 30 million bucks over the course of 6 years is ridiculous.
So I'm thinking how I want to attack this because there's a lot of different ways I can do it. And I want to make something clear to you, and I want to make something clear to everybody listening. I have nothing against George Springer. I like George Springer. In a perfect world, they would have signed George Springer. So let me start with the center field aspect. Obviously, I agree with you. The Mets haven't had a real center fielder since Carlos Beltran was their center fielder before they moved him to right field. Totally agree with you. Can't argue it at all. Brandon Nimmo, nice player, not a true center fielder. With that said, George Springer has started more games in right field than he has started in center field. That's number one. Number two, he's 31 years old. Right now, he's an average defensive center fielder, and that's probably being nice. Now, I admit you and I don't watch him every inning of every game, but everything I've heard is he's average. He's okay. He's 31 years old. You wanted to give him a six-year contract. How many of those years was he going to be an average defensive center fielder? How many of those years?
See, here's the difference, though. You're and a lot of Mets fans are looking ahead as if years four, correct, five, and six matter anymore. That's what Steve Cohen is for. It doesn't matter anymore. If the Mets won two of the next three World Series, would you give a crap about year four, five, and six?
No.
And that's it. That's the point.
So
I'll worry about that then.
I get that, but first of all, a part of the reason, I know this is not related, but it is, a part of the reason I freaked out over the James Harden trade was thinking 3, 4, 5 years down the road. If the Nets win an NBA title, I'm not going to give a rat's ass about draft picks,
right?
But you're still thinking about the big picture. And the big picture is, okay, you're right. In the short term, George Springer gives the Mets the best chance to win a championship. I agree with you on that. But in the long term, at what cost? He's going to become a corner outfielder, which they're completely filled with. And the other point, which I'll bring up right now, is Michael Conforto. I get that the Mets have a much bigger budget now with Steve Cohen. I love it. I love his beautiful money. We've already seen the impact. But let's not act, Sal, like there's no budget whatsoever. Are they going to be able to keep Michael Conforto and pay him $150 million after handing $160 million to George Springer? Was that really realistic? And $300 million to Francisco Lindor?
Well, let me ask you this. They did offer, I mean, I don't know the exact timeline of it, but they were reportedly or seemingly in it until he, in fact, chose the Blue Jays the other day. So I would assume that their offer still stood at, what was it, $120 million?
Right.
So you're telling me the difference then between being able to sign Syndergaard or Conforto or Lindor, was that $30 million? The Mets knew, A, that they needed a center fielder, B, that they liked the player, because if you don't like the player, you're not offering them, you know, $120 million, and C, that they had all these issues moving forward anyway. So why let the $30 million get in the way? That's my issue. Do I think it's realistic? Look, I think it's a lot of money to tie up with Conforto and with Lindor and with Springer, obviously, and with other guys, you know, DeGrom and the starting rotation. Yeah, I get it. I'm not a bookkeeper here. I'm trying to put the best team, and then Met fans drive me nuts. So now it's, oh, the in the beginning, it was, we want Bauer, we want Lindor, we want Springer, we want Real Muto. And now they miss out on the top guy. And now it's, oh, no, you know what? No. We're fine. We got to worry about Conforto and Lindor.
No. It's not a pivot to, like, defend new ownership. It's a pivot in that they traded for Francisco Lindor. And that's the pivot. They're going to have to give Lindor $300 million. I think that's realistic. And I'm good with that. And I'm sure you're good with that. They just traded for the guy. He's one of the best shortstops in baseball. He's 27 years old. Actually, let me just, before I assume anything, because you're a little wacky sometimes, as am I admit that. Are you cool with signing Lindor to a $300 million deal?
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't think I could get involved with the money anymore. It's not because it shouldn't. And again, we're talking about next level, but in past years, we wouldn't be talking about a player the caliber of Lindor. But
exactly.
Whatever move they made would potentially prevent them from making another move.
Hold on. The New York Yankees, who we have shared a town with for the last 30 years of our lives, we're roughly the same age. We've watched the Yankees run themselves like a huge market team. We've been in awe of the New York Yankees. But you know as well as I do that the Yankees have a freaking budget. So we've entered Yankee territory. That doesn't mean we've added to you can sign everyone territory. The Yankees don't sign everyone. They target guys. Cashman looks ahead and says, okay, this is who I wanted to. They didn't target Bryce Harper because earlier they got Giancarlo.
Well, what are the Yankees going to do then with Judge? I mean, Sanchez, who knows at this point? Torres, when these
exactly.
guys start to make real
but
money.
Sal, that's why they don't sign every single. That's why Bryce Harper isn't a New York Yankee right now. It's why Manny Machado isn't a Yankee right now because, yeah, they pay certain guys, free agents, they add them just like the Mets have, but also want to maintain their own guys. They have a high level budget. That's where the Mets are. It's a great place to be. But you're acting as if, Steve Cohen owns the team. Why can't they get everybody? You got to pick your damn spots now.
Well, I am. The one guy I wanted was Springer. And
over
by the
Lindor.
Way,
over
yes,
Lindor.
Yes, because I'll tell you the drop-off. Why? Because the drop-off from Springer to whatever they're going to put in center field was more significant to me than Jimenez at short. I liked Jimenez at
come
short.
Come on.
Now, he's now, not the player.
Come
he's not the,
on.
Well, wait a second. He's not the player Lindor is. Nobody's yes. saying that.
Yeah.
But he's a winning player. You can win with Jimenez at shortstop who provided some offense. He's a great defensive player. And obviously they would have been better in other areas. So they wanted to go all in on Lindor.
The guy plays 49 games, hits .260, winning ball player. Look, I like Andrés Giménez. He's fine. You're telling me the drop-off between Lindor and Andrés Giménez is less than the drop-off between George Springer and Jackie Bradley Jr., if that's who the Mets end up signing.
They're not going to get him. And Jackie Bradley Jr. can't hit, and it doesn't sound like they're going to sign him anyway because he's going to be too much money for the type of player that he is. You get happy with Albert Almora
Jr.? You know what? But Sal, that's where I'll rip. That's where I'll rip the Mets. Like, the one thing I look at by not signing George Springer is you better get me Brad Hand. You better get me a capable center fielder that's better than Almora, who sucks.
But that's the point. Now they're going to get the guy to compliment Nimmo because they didn't get a real center fielder. But here's what we're talking about, Ev. Yes. I said I would have given Springer the 150, right, what he wanted. You're saying, you can't just go out there and pay everybody. They were willing to give him 120. So I want to know how the $30 million is that significant? If you spread it out over the course of 6 years, they could have gotten creative. How is that $30 million so significant when you're talking about Lindor and Conforto and the future? That does not make sense to me at
all. Well, I get it's actually a really good point, and I'm not going to argue it because I wouldn't have signed George Springer for that price either. Like, right. Once the Mets traded for Lindor, okay, and this is a strategic thing. It's not just locking up Conforto or potentially locking up Syndergaard. It's not just that. Once the Mets traded for Lindor, I said, boy, I still want to fill a bunch of holes. And if you assume there's a budget, and let's just say for the sake of it, the budget is the luxury tax line. Okay, Steve doesn't want to go over the luxury tax line in year one, which doesn't mean he's never going to go over the luxury tax line, but it's year one. I wanted to then take that money and spend it on a Brad Hand, spend it on another starting pitcher, a guy like Masahiro Tanaka. We'll see what his price looks like. And a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr., who is significantly better than Almora. You know, Jackie Bradley Jr., I get it. He's not the greatest bat in the world. Look up his career numbers. He's not, you know, I'm going to take a personal shot at you. He's not Ray Ordonez.
I knew you were going there. I knew it. No, I get it. Look, and ultimately, if they sign, and to me, the perfect offseason would have been everything they did and right. Just add Springer and Brad Hand, and I would have been in heaven. That's it. Now, okay. I know that that's a lot, but remember, this has been a team and a fan base that has been deprived for at least 10 years.
They traded for Lindor.
They had a lot of ground to make up. And you think they're on right now. Are they on the same level as the Dodgers? I mean, I'm trying to win a World Series here. I'm not trying to make the playoffs. I've seen that before.
I get that.
I want to contend legitimately with the Dodgers, with the Braves, with the Padres, with the Yankees.
Okay.
Can they do that right now?
No. They still have holes to fill. I'm with you. I want to sign Brad Hand too. I want to add a center fielder. I even want to add another starting pitcher. So let me throw this at you then. George Springer is going to make $25 million a year. Is that eventually the average? Let's just say $25 million a year.
Right.
Would you rather have just George Springer or let's say Brad Hand at $11 million, Jackie Bradley Jr. at $7 million? And I don't know what he's going to get. So if your argument, he's going to get more than $7 million, maybe he is. I have no idea what Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to get.
Sounds like more, but who knows?
Okay. Right. Brad Hand at 11, Jackie Bradley Jr. at 7, and let's throw in Tanaka's probably too expensive. Another starting pitcher that's kind of in that $6 to $7 million range. Would you rather have that threesome or just George Springer?
I get what you're saying, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to go nuts about if they do get Bradley Jr. and Brad Hand and whatever another starter. However, I've been down this road too many times with the quantity instead of quality. I know what George Springer is. Now, it may not be that in year 4, 5, 6. I understand that. But right now,
okay,
you are adding an impact bat who is going to play center field for them. And I think makes them significantly better. So, yeah, I would rather
take
the quality in this case over the three. Now, they should have already had Hand. That's the problem with the change in ownership. It should have already been locked up for the 1 year, $10 million.
Well, the change in his agency. I think he fired his agent.
Remember, because of the timing of the change in Mets ownership.
Oh, I got you. That they should have claimed him. I got what
Correct.
You're saying. You're 100% right about
that. It's been reported that they already would have claimed him. So, unfortunately,
that whole thing. I think it was $11 million that was left on the deal when they waived him. You're right about that. The fact that we knew Steve Cohen was taking over, they could have freaking claimed Brad Hand. I mean, Cohen could have made a phone call and said, look, I'm about to take over. This isn't your problem. Claim Brad freaking Hand for me.
Right, do us a favor.
Yeah. The other thing is, okay, let's look at this Met lineup. And for the sake of this discussion, there's no DH because I don't know what the hell's going to happen. But
well, if there's no DH, now there's a big problem here.
What's the problem? No DH, Dom's playing left field.
He's the first baseman.
I get it, but if there's no DH, what are you doing?
Well, let me ask you then, how was this team significantly better offensively than they were a year ago? Because
because they traded for Francisco Lindor.
But you're also losing, and I hate Robinson Cano, and I hope that they just get rid of him after this, but he had a good year last year. You could rip Jimenez all you want. He was productive for them. So you're taking that production out of the lineup. You're keeping Nemo.
Let's go piece by piece to prove you're wrong here. First of all, I assume James McCann will be more productive than the garbage we saw from Wilson Ramos last year. Is that fair right. to say?
Yes. Yes, okay. Of course.
I'm hopeful that Pete Alonso will be more productive than what he was in year two. Is that
by the way? Yes, it is. But by the way, maybe the better comparison is 2 years ago, as opposed to the, you know, the pandemic shortened 60 game season. So they got decent production from Ramos a couple years ago. Now, I think McCann's going to be better, but I'm just saying it's not like we're talking about a world of difference there. Offensively, Alonso, I agree, is going to be significantly better. You better hope than he was a year ago.
Well, the other weird thing about the Met offense, because I do think the Mets have a really good offense right now. And I think that was part of my point about the Springer stuff. George Springer became a luxury because offensively, I do think they're good enough. Where I really want to improve in center field, and maybe this is where I cooled off on the Springer idea after they traded for Lindor, is I want defense. Like when you mentioned they haven't had a real center fielder since Carlos Beltran, you're 1,000% right. I don't think they need Carlos Beltran in center field. I think they need a really dependable glove in center field. Brandon Nimmo is not that. George Springer's average, which is fine. I get all he can bring offensively and everything he's done in the postseason, but that's at the cost of $160 million. So you're not giving yourself this gold glove caliber center fielder. Yeah, you're improving the offense, but I think the offense is already good enough, and you're spending $160 million to get it. That's a part of my thought on why the whole thing wasn't worth it.
So hold on now. Yeah. I'm fine with, and I love defense, and in particular up the middle, and they've checked two of those boxes with McCann. Thank God they finally have a catcher who can actually catch.
Right.
And Lindor up the middle at short. So yes. I'm fine with getting the best defensive center fielder if that's Bradley Jr.
Okay.
At the cost, whatever. I'm fine with that. Now you tell me where they're getting the offense and what's Nimmo's out of the lineup.
Oh, the offense. Dude, think about this.
No, I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
Nimmo, I'm going to tell you right now. Yeah. You've got a lineup of, I'll even order them out for you. Jeff McNeil, Pete Alonso.
You trust
Francisco
McNeil?
Francisco Lindor.
You trust McNeil and Alonso to bounce back? You better to what they did 2 years ago.
Here's what's so great. What did you just say? Do you trust Jeff McNeil to bounce back? Is that what you said?
Yes.
The guy hit 311 last year with an 840 OPS.
He's had one, I'm not counting last year, good or bad.
That was a good year last year. And by the way, last year, Jeff McNeil had the worst year of his career.
Early on in the year, he's stunned.
He hit 311 with an
8. He's had one. He's not exactly a proven major leaguer.
Oh, dude, here's why you're so wrong about that. Jeff McNeil's played 250 major league games. Would you admit that's a pretty good sample size?
No.
250 games is not a sample size.
I wouldn't say he's a proven major, like a guy you could count on.
All the guy's done since he's been called up is hit 310, 320. That's all he's done. His entire, I get it. It's 250 games. It's 3 years. It's half of year one. It's a full year two, and it's a half of year three. I get it. But all he's done is hit. So, yeah, I trust that Jeff McNeil is going to hit me 315 with an 840, 850 okay. OPS style because that's all he's ever freaking done in his career.
That's fair. No, that's fair.
Thank you. I won that argument.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's as guaranteed as you're saying, but yes, I think that that's fair.
All he's done is produce as a major leaguer. So
he had look, I don't care what the numbers say. You watched him as did I last year.
Did. And
it's a shortened year. So again, I want to throw that out.
Yes.
But he was not big spots, him and Alonso. And I know Alonso was terrible overall. Those two killed the Mets. Last year,
well,
McNeil, every time there were guys on McNeil, every time.
Yes, you're actually right. And that's a part of why I'm so confident about the Met offense. Your point that's true and negative about the Met offense is why I'm confident. They were a really solid offense in the brief 60-game season. They just couldn't get big hits. And I think because the sample size was so small, I kind of lean towards, come on, that crap's going to even itself out. Like, I honestly feel that way. I mean, it's a weird season to judge. And the other thing that I think you said that also, to me, makes me feel even better about McNeil is you said, Evan, you watch every game. Was McNeil great last year? No, he wasn't. But he's still at 310. That's kind of the point that even in a year in which he wasn't as good as we expect him to be, he still ended up putting up productive numbers. I think that's the sign of a good ball player.
That's fair. I'm curious now. And look, for this team to go the way that they're built now, they need Alonzo and McNeil to be the all-stars that they were. I mean, I know
absolutely.
I know that they've added Lindor, but they still need those guys. And Conforto, who, you know, to a degree, he also gets overrated. I know everybody looks at the numbers. You know that. Come on. You think he's a legit superstar in this league?
That's no, what he's talking I never about said now. It. I never implied he's a superstar, nor did I say he's a superstar, but he's a good ball player and he's still only 28 years old. And I'd rather have him on this team long term than George Springer. Do you disagree with that statement?
No, long term, I could see it. Look, I've been waiting for Conforto from start to finish of a year. Forget the numbers. I want to see him from start to finish of a year
produce
consistently. And yeah, because the numbers look okay, but if you watch him every day, the big moments, Michael Conforto was not that bat. You know, the Carlos Beltran.
Is that how we're defining it, though? Is that literally how we're going to define baseball players?
For a guy
you're
going to end up paying a ton of money for.
No, but I mean, Michael Conforto, and again, I know the 60-game season is weird, but in the 60-game season, he was awesome, right? Would you not deny that last year he was pretty freaking good?
And he's had, in his career, great 60-game stretches.
Yeah, he's streaking.
He's never done it from start to finish of a year to complete a year, even his all-star year.
I mean,
get hurt.
Here's what I think is unfair about that. I think a lot of guys are streaky. And when you watch a guy every day, you live and die with their streaks a hell of a lot more than when you look at the final numbers of a guy's season. So I think you got to look at, okay, did he go out and play 150 games before this past year? He did, at least a couple of years in a row after being hurt early in his career. And he's a productive player. So I guess the guys that are already on this roster, maybe I like more than you because I like Conforto. I trust Jeff McNeil. I'm curious about Dom Smith because I think that Dom was awesome in a shortened year, but he's got to go out and prove it. And I agree with you. He's a first baseman, but if there's not going to be a designated hitter in the National League, I think he can become average in left field. I think he's working his way to that level. I don't know, man. I think this is a pretty good lineup. I don't think this is a bad lineup at all. And oh, by the way, we haven't mentioned they added Francisco Lindor.
No. I get it. I'm not saying it's a bad lineup. I'm saying it's not a lineup that could go out there and compete with the Dodgers or the Yankees, you know, the Braves.
Yankees? And the by Yankees the way, are in the American League. Who
by
cares?
The way, you get to win a World Series, you got to beat the American League the last
Stop
that
decade.
By the way, I love Dom Smith. I think Dom Smith is one of the impact bats that I trust in that lineup. He's a guy, and maybe it's just me getting too involved in the moment because Dom Smith, anytime you needed a hit last year, big spot, Dom Smith came through.
Okay.
That's what I value.
So you now, like you, the offense. So you well, do think this is a good offense.
No. I like Dom Smith's offense. I like Pete Alonso 2 years ago's offense. Conforto to me has never been that clutch guy. He showed signs of it last year, but from start to finish of the year, he hasn't. So yeah, I do think there are important or not important, but there are good pieces for this team offensively, how it's going to mesh together. I don't know. And by the way, we're talking about a team. You even said it. So are you living Nimmo's out of the lineup then? Nimmo's the fourth outfielder on your team? Cause no DH.
No, I think it's going to be a part-time kind of thing. And I also think you have to look at a baseball, and not just a baseball season that's still going to be dealing with COVID, but guys don't play every single day. They just don't. So having four solid major league starting caliber outfielders, and they don't have that yet. I mean, right now, when you really think about how many outfielders they have, they only have two. They have Michael Conforto and Brandon Nimmo because you're forcing Dom Smith into the outfield and this hypothetical defensive glove that we want to add now that Springer's in Toronto. For me, it's Jackie Bradley Jr. I think you'd agree Jackie Bradley Jr. is probably your preferable guy at this point.
Well, I mean, look, you offensively he's not, but yeah, you want defense in center field. Is that what you value? And then you're going to move Nimmo to left. Do you want a right-handed bat? I mean, do you want the more offense? What are
That's
they
the only problem. It's a good point. See, one problem with Jackie Bradley Jr. is that he's a lefty bat, so it kind of him and Nimmo, it's not a platoon necessarily. It's more like, hey, I'm bringing Nimmo in late for defense, or I'm bringing Bradley Jr. in late for defense, because I think that's going to be important if Dom's playing left field, where not necessarily that you're taking Dom out. You could be taking Pete Alonso out. I mean, you could be improving your defense in the outfield and moving Dom to first base. So it may be a caddy situation where you're splitting the playing time. Guys are going to sit like we talked about, but you really need those extra guys so that late in the game you can tighten up your defense. And they have a chance to be a much improved defensive team. And I kind of wonder, bro, what they're doing at third base. You get the impression that they don't love J.D. Davis. You know,
I'm glad because I don't either. And it's not a knock on J.D. Davis. He's just another one of these guys that I'm so sick of seeing over the years that is one-dimensional. I want well-rounded baseball players. And if you're not going to be well-rounded, you better be, like, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr., for example. Okay, maybe he's not great offensively, but he's as good a defensive center fielder.
So who do you want at third base? Because we haven't even addressed that since.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to bring that up. What are we looking at? You're looking at McNeil. Are you slotting him at second for sure? Or are you looking to move him to third and get a second baseman? I mean, I think for this team to have true success, they have to have the luxury of the DH. I know you hate it, and I understand why, but they are much better with Smith at first, Alonso at DH.
Look, I don't deny the Mets are better off with the DH. Like, it's almost a fact at this
right.
point.
Right, so there's no way to argue that. But at third, I don't want Davis because, A, I don't think he's good enough offensively to make up for his poor defense. And B, he's just a similar guy to what they've had in the past. I want a more well-rounded guy or a guy who is great in one area. Now, he's been good here. Don't get me wrong, he's been good. I think they could find a bet. I'd rather have Guillorme at third and go all glove. Now, that was assuming they had Springer.
Jesus Christ.
But, well, they don't have Springer in the lineup, so you can't do that. So now you need a little more.
How about this? How about we blow up the whole financial thing and they just go trade for Nolan Arenado? That seems like a nice fit.
He's one of my favorites. But, I mean, now you're talking about that's a bad contract. I love Arenado, and then I wouldn't get caught up in the Coors Field numbers. I know people do.
So it's a bad contract. Why? Why is it a bad contract?
Well, how long is it go here?
If he doesn't opt out, it goes until 2026.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a hefty. And what is it? Over 20 million a year, right? 25 million a year, something like that.
It was initially signed at 8 years, 260. So I know you're really good with math. So what does that add up to?
I'm just kidding.
That adds up to $33 million a year.
Wow, so even way more than what I thought.
Well, Hold on a damn freaking second. So you think that contract's terrible. Oh, it's an awful contract. You can't do that. Nolan Arenado is about to turn 30 years old, and he is signed through 2026. So that means he's got 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. That's 6 years. Wow. 6 years.
Right. So 6 years and how much left?
6 years, $32 million a year. Okay. George Springer, who you're bitching about, signed for 6 years, about $25 million a year.
Right.
So you don't think Nolan Arenado, who's a year younger than George Springer, is worth $7 million a year more?
No, for the Mets, I think I'd rather have the center fielder. And by the way,
Nolan Arenado is better than George Springer. Position my ass. He's a platinum glove defensive third baseman. You would rather spend the money on Springer than Arenado? What?
I think they needed a center fielder. I would rather have Arenado and Springer than I would Lindor, if you're asking me.
That's different. And I had a debate. If you want to check out an old edition of the Evan Roberts podcast, I debated a few Met fans on Arenado versus Lindor. And I agreed with you. I preferred Arenado. Look, they had a great
So you're
chance.
Settling, too? This is the whole
year. You're settling.
You're going nuts about Lindor, top five player.
Yeah.
Francisco Lindor. And you didn't even want him. You wanted Arenado.
I didn't say I didn't want him. I said, here are two elite level players. Two of the top 10, right. I don't know. I have to think about it. Two of the top 10, top 15 players in baseball. I made a preference on which one I preferred. Don't act like I said I don't want Francisco Lindor. I said Arenado is better. That's
we agreed.
All.
We agreed on that. And then I kind of got off of it because I felt it wasn't realistic for them to obtain Arenado. And I'm not sure why. Maybe something I read just turned me off. But yeah, I preferred Arenado as well. You know what I want? Here's what I want. And I think this is the bottom line. I think Met fans deserve this. We all know that there are many ways to build a good ball club, right? Just because I'm ticked off they didn't get Springer and I thought he was a perfect fit doesn't mean that they can't still improve the ball club. But what I wanted was two of the big moves. I didn't want Bauer. I didn't necessarily want Lindor. I didn't want Real Muto, but I didn't get my guy that I wanted. So if you were to tell me the Mets go out there and shock the world and sign Bauer or trade for Arenado, I'm fine with that. That's what I want, though. Okay. I think they still need that level move. It's funny,
my bar was a little bit lower, and that was you got to give me one big time move, you know, almost as a sign of good faith, because Steve Cohen buying the Mets is not a 1 year, 2 year, 5 year plan. He's going to own the team hopefully for the rest of his life, and he's going to spend like a big market team. And so this isn't going to be our first, you know, enjoyment of going into an offseason and getting to bid on top free agents, not necessarily getting them all, but at least being in the conversation the way the Yankees have been over the last 25 years. So to me, it was, you got to give me one, a sign of good faith. And then after that one big move is made, I like the core of this team. I thought the Mets underachieved in major ways last year. Plus, they just had no starting pitching, you know, as the season was rolling on. So I think that this team isn't dealing with coming from nowhere. They're not the Jets rebuild. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they've got a core. So get me the one big move and then plug in pieces after that. That's kind of the offseason they're headed towards, because they plugged in catcher with James McCann. They're working on the bullpen. I expect another move, whether it's bad hand or someone else. And they gave you the big superstar move in trading for Francisco Lindor. You, on the other hand, you are like this fat kid who just needs more. I need two superstars. Two.
Meanwhile, I've been saying all along for the Mets fan, calm down. They're going to make moves. I trust
and
this
they
team.
Did.
Yeah, but here's the issue. They're too far away, and it's not Cohen and Alderson's fault. The damage has been done, not only to the Mets.
How are they too far away? What aspect of this team makes them far away?
You admitted it. They may be a decent team. They're not going to compete with the Dodgers. To catch up, to expedite the process, to become legitimate World Series contenders, which is what I want, and the owner said the expectations are raised, they need another big move.
I think they're in the mix with Atlanta right now. When you look at the National League East, and I think, you know, when you bring up the Yankees, I get the Dodgers. They are in the National League. I focus on the division.
How about the Padres?
I just said, you focus on the freaking division. Can they compete with the Braves to win this National League East?
Yeah, I think they can. I think the Braves are good. I don't think the Braves are, you know, an unbeatable juggernaut.
And look, I think the Padres have been wildly aggressive, and I give them credit for that. But you, Darvish, as great as he was last year, I don't trust him in a big spot. You're Mr. Big Spot guy.
By the way,
he's also 34, 35 years old. It's not like he's in the prime of his career. Blake Snell's tremendous. You know, when they let him pitch more than five innings, he's outstanding.
Before we worry about the Braves, can you beat the Marlins? How about that?
I mean, well, I agree with you. I'm just
that the Mets were so bad. I know it was just a short year, but come on. I mean, you thought they were going to be competitive for a playoff spot.
It was disappointing.
That disappointing is an understatement.
I get it, but that's last year. I'm talking about this year. I don't think the Mets, assuming they make the moves that I still think they need to make, which is, you know, I said three things, so it's not nothing. A reliever, I want another depth starting pitcher, and they obviously need a glove in center field. And maybe
what are you doing
depth
in the infield then? You're going with J.D. Davis?
I mean, I don't see, you know, besides an Arenado trade, you know, I love Justin Turner. I don't know if I would go to Justin Turner at this point.
You can't go back down that road. No, not now.
Well, as good as he is, he's not getting any younger. You know what I mean? Like, the guy's 36 years old.
It'd be typical to have them have him before he becomes a star. Then he goes, becomes a star, and then they get him back and he falls off. That would be typical.
Maybe that's a part of it. It kind of scares me thinking about it. But at this point, I think I'd stick with J.D. Davis. There's nothing out there that really turns me the other way. But I think if they can add another depth arm in the rotation, if they could add to their bullpen and build a pen that actually, you know, Seth Lugo, Edwin Diaz, Brad Hand, Trevor May, I'm including Diaz in the mix. Diaz was good last year.
Diaz,
and I'm not relying on him as a closer, Sal.
Diaz, Familia, Betances all sound nice if they pitch to the best of their capability.
Hey, But that's why when I was mentioning the bullpen, I didn't mention Betances and Familia. I mentioned Diaz because I thought Diaz was good last year. And I think taking the pressure off of him not being the guy, is going to help. I mean, if Edwin Diaz is the seventh inning guy, or you're using him in situations that aren't to get the last three outs of a game, I don't know. I think he could be halfway decent. Seth Lugo would be my closer. I mean, if that's the route they're going, where Lugo's back in the bullpen. So this team is good. Is it the best team in baseball? Is it the team to beat? I'm not saying that, but it's a good team. And I couldn't expect Steve Cohen in one offseason to just go out and blow the roof off of everything.
But they didn't sign the top free agents.
They
not one of them.
Traded for the best shortstop in the mother freaking major leagues. You're ignoring it. You're acting like it didn't happen.
That is a fact. You have just stated a fact. They made a trade for the best shortstop in baseball, one of the top five players in baseball. I am also stating a fact. They have not signed one of the top free agents. They didn't do it. Not Bauer, not Real Muto, not Springer. Hasn't been done.
So I'm still waiting. They acquired a guy better than all of them. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I mean, we both just said we thought Arenado was better.
No. You just said no. Don't pivot.
You're talking about from the free agents?
Yeah. You just said they didn't sign one of the big free agents. Now, DJ LeMahieu's been great. So if you want to argue, hey, over the last 2 years, he's better, sure. I guess you can make that argument.
That was another one they could have gone down that road we talked about. It was never realistic, but why not? I mean, they need a third baseman, right? Or a second baseman.
Look, you know who my preference was, and it's not over yet. My preference was Trevor Bauer. You seem very anti-Trevor Bauer, but I was enamored by...
At this point, I'd take him, no question.
Why are you acting so desperate after they've had an offseason that so far has been pretty good? You're acting like the Wilpon's still on the team. You really are.
It's not that.
I'll take anyone.
Yeah, well, I wanted one of the big moves, so I figured the way to make this look... You know why I would take him? Not only because it would be exciting for the fan base and that type of move, but then what you would do is, instead of what I would have done, balance out the lineup with Springer, you now take that rotation to the next level. I don't think it's necessary, but if you add Trevor Bauer with Jacob DeGrom and Carrasco and Stroman, now you're taking that rotation to the next level. So we could talk about the lineup not being on par with the top teams, but the rotation would be better than those.
Yeah, I think that. What I would love to see happen in a perfect world, because I don't want it to be a contradiction when I tell you, boy, I wouldn't have given Springer $120, $140 million, because that means, what am I going to do the next few years? Trevor Bauer is different, because to me, if you sign Trevor Bauer to a long-term deal, let's say it's a five-year deal, Syndergaard's done. Let's just be honest about it. If Noah Syndergaard comes back healthy and pitches well, unless they got him on some kind of short-term deal, he's gone. You're just not... Even with Steve Cohen, going to be able to pay three starting pitchers.
Oh, you could keep him, let Stroman walk if you wanted. I mean,
no, but you're paying Bauer, DeGrom, and even Carrasco for another year.
That's what I'm saying. And you're saying both Syndergaard and Stroman are going to be gone in that?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you end up signing Bauer and you're paying him in the 30s and you're paying Jake in the 30s, it's tough to imagine they're going to have, a $90 million payroll just in their starting pitching. But here's what I would try to do, even though it may cost Steve Cohen the luxury tax. I would try to get Bauer on a two-year deal, and I'd pay him an obscene amount of money. And Bauer's creative, man. Like, he's out there. So hear me out. 2 years, $80 million. Is that really that crazy?
It's crazy to think that you're paying somebody $40 million a year.
Okay.
I don't care how much.
2 years, $70 million. Is that
better? I'm not worried about the money or the length. What I'm worried about is building the ball club. So it's not the way that I would have done it. However, I think it is their best option right now to build a legitimate contender would be to go out and sign Bauer.
That's a team. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly the point. Oh. Right. So that's the point. Now, instead of it going to a legitimate offense, now you turn to that rotation and say, okay, this is the strength. Not only is it the strength as it has been in years past, but they actually have defense to go along with it. Oh, and by the way, it's not an anemic lineup like we've seen. There's some balance there. So the lineup can probably hold their own.
So
you hope the bullpen and the defense, and obviously with those two starting with the DeGrom and Bauer 1 and 2, that's tough to beat.
So in conclusion, we have agreed that the New York Mets should sign Trevor Bauer. Is that what we've come to the conclusion of?
It is, yeah. It is. Forget Springer. I want Bauer. Who needs Springer and the $150 million? Go get Trevor Bauer. And Mets fans were on it from the beginning. Maybe you were one of them as well.
I was.
Pair him in number. Pair him with DeGrom. I never thought you needed two aces, but now I think that that's their only option to get to, you know, as serious contenders as they can be.
That would be the move. And the idea that the reason why, and I know it's crazy to pay a guy $40 million a year. I get it. I mean, you're paying him more than Jacob DeGrom. I get all of that. But it's a smart way to keep Bauer, quote unquote, motivated. You know, he's got another contract year in a couple of years. And it gives you the flexibility where he's gone in 2 years, you know, which is a good thing and a bad thing. If he has two dominant years, we'll all want him back. But if he has one dominant year, one average year, you move on.
And you, you would go for that. The question is, would he? I think most Mets fans say, oh, yeah, sure. What's the difference?
He's crazy, man.
He's talked openly at this point?
Yeah, I mean, he's talked in the past about only pitching on one-year contracts. And I think there's a lot of ego and brand involved with him. If you're going to make him the highest paid, you know, pitcher in baseball in terms of average salary, I don't think it's crazy. I think if this was any other player, I probably wouldn't have even brought it up because it'd be like, it's a waste of time. Like, it's not going to happen. Pitchers just want security. It's your chance to get a 6 or 7 year deal. I think Bauer's out there, but the overall point I wanted to make to you, and you've made your case. And by the way, I think most people listening are going to agree with you. So I know I'm in the minority on this.
I don't. What, Springer he's talking about? No way.
Oh, I think most Mets fans were pissed.
They've been killing me on Twitter. No, don't worry about it. The Mets are fine. What are you, an idiot? They don't need him. They got to worry about one. I can't believe it. I mean, I don't understand it.
Because I got the opposite. That just shows that people like to bitch at the person that says whatever they said. Because I got the opposite. So I don't know what you're talking about. You know what? I don't know who is in the majority or the minority. Who the hell knows what Mets fans actually want? I just know that George Springer is a nice player. He's been a postseason juggernaut. I don't want to take anything away from that. I did not think that once they traded for Lindor, the New York Mets needed to go out there and just blow the roof off of George Springer. That would be a contract in 3 years that you'd hate. And don't tell me if they win a World Series, everything's fine. That's the case with anything. Of course, we all think that. Then trade for Arenado too. Don't say he has a bad contract and say, hey, if we win the World Series, everything's fine. Trust me, if the Nets win the NBA title this year, I'm not going to give a crap about the 2026 first round draft pick. And if I complain about it in 2026, slap me across the face and say, you won a title. Shut up.
Will do. I'll keep you up on that. Would you do $100 million 3 years for Bauer? 105. I mean, you know, whatever, something like that.
Yeah, I like 3 years and under. I'd probably pay him a fortune because I like it. I like the flexibility. I like the, not that a guy like Trevor Bauer needs to be motivated by any stretch, but you're not committing to the long term of a guy who's, you know, 30. He's 30 right now. I think he just turned 30. So if you give him a 6 year deal, you're committing late into his career. I believe in Bauer. I'm not scared off by, you know, people citing what he did in 2015 or 2016 and 2017. I saw what he did in 2018. I saw what he did in 2020, two of the last 3 years.
You've now pushed me in the direction. This is now what I want. Now it's not, I take him. No, now it's what I want because we both agree. That would be the move. That's the move now. That's left. That's it. That's the move that's left.
I like it. We ended on a positive. We ended on a kumbaya kind of moment. And that's, sign Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
Get it done. I'm trying to think of a rhyme that I can give Craig to put into a microphone. What rhymes with his megaphone? What rhymes with Bauer? Power. Use that power. Get me Trevor Bauer. Nah, that doesn't work. Lauer.
Did you bench tonight when you get home?
I haven't done that yet. I got it.
Those 30-pound dumbbells?
I'm going to do that after our podcast is over. Let's take a shower. Get me Trevor Bauer. No, that doesn't work. All right.
I think Craig could come up with something a little better.
Probably. Yeah, I'm gonna text him right now, and it'll be something brilliant in the morning. Thank you, Sal. Sal Licata, WFAN, SNY fame. This has been a riveting edition of the Evan Roberts Podcast.